still there.
Do you think it's a little bit trying to fit a square peg through a round hole, like the old paradigm of the Soviet Union as the evil empire, and now the evil empire is, you know, and it's taking kind of a nation of very disparate peoples from Indonesia to Iran, you know, and trying to make them into this Soviet Union.
Yeah, it's a tough sell, but they're doing it. You know, they're over
it's
there.
Worked. It's sold.
Yeah, they're doing it. I mean,
at least in the heartland. I mean, maybe not on the coast, but, you know, you talk to
people.
Yeah,
they're doing it. I mean, they have all, you know, I can't even believe how much money they spent over there.
And to spend. And they are going to be spending a lot more. It'll be a $1 trillion war.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about it, is that the whole idea is that we're in this capitalist country. We're not really in a capitalist country. We're in something else. Because if it were pure capitalism, these decisions are terrible decisions. That's why Ron Paul is so interesting to me. Because he's up there, you know, he's up there just with steam coming out of his ears saying, we're spending too much money. This is crazy. And it is. It's not fiscally responsible. It has... No, I mean, you know, we're bolstering these oil companies, which is now, it's really a vestigial energy source. We have all kinds of other options. We know it's not where we should be, but we're doing it because that's where the economy is, right? That's where these large corporations are. But that's not capitalism. That's some kind of weird meld of corporate socialism, you know? I mean, our whole government is now booing antiquated technologies.
Was there a moment where your switch was flipped, where you were like, I've had enough, I've gotta, you know, like, I think that as a person, you can always, you know, as a thinking person, you can see these things happening, but was there a breaking one?
Well, yeah, for me, it was 9/11, you know, it happened, we had these armies of people covered in chalk walking past our apartment. I had the idea for the book. I had a title in my head, Snowball's Chance, walking along Lafayette Street on September 10th. I mentioned it to my wife, and she said, I don't know, it doesn't sound so great. But I was sure that there was something good about it. And then 9/11 happened, and I sat there watching TV for 3 days, like everyone else, and riding my bike around with a gas mask on and getting cartridges for my wife and brother.
Did you really?
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of really strong memories from that period. The one that really is with me right now is there was a policeman, and we were downtown, so we had to go past this checkpoint, and this guy, I was wearing a gas mask from minute one, because I just could feel that this was not good, the stuff that was in the air, and he looked at me, and you know, most of the cops would just make fun of us for wearing gas masks, you know, because they heard that it was safe. And this one cop was standing there, and he looked at us and said, do you know something that I don't know? And of course we did know something, which is that the, you know, city officials were lying to us. And I always think back on that guy, and I wonder, you know, because he was, yeah, I mean, who knows. But anyway, about, yeah, 2 or 3 days after, not after 9/11, I realized Snowball's Chance, it meant that Snowball came back to the farm. And I had pretty much the whole book in my head at that moment. And I really wrote it over the course of about 2 weeks, just sitting there writing nonstop, really writing what I already knew was there, catching it on paper. And, you know, was my rage directed then at Orwell? More it was like my creative energy was just into this thing. In retrospect, I realized what it was. You know, a lot of the ways in the book mocks Orwell, you know, and sort of ups his very dry delivery. You know, all of that stuff is creative impetus.
Yeah. And, you know, you probably couldn't have, you know, I think that maybe what happened was, you know, Orwell forms such a fundamental basis for so much neoconservative thinking, almost as like an ideological text that maybe unknowingly or knowingly, you know, you were like, you know, it really seemed, you know, looking back when you think, you know, like the Outsiders forms, you know, our sense of what a rebel is to a degree, you know, and Orwell really gives us, you know, a world view.
Yeah, I think that's it exactly. And the other thing is, right when 9/11 happened, that period, Animal Farm was looking forward into about a 50-year period. Suddenly, that period was over. That paradigm was over at that moment. And that's when it seemed like open game to me. I was actually, you know, pretty pissed at Orwell right after that, because, you know, that whole... the whole Cold War model had largely gotten us into that mess.
What about 1984?
Yeah, you know, there are people really pissed about 1984, and yet, and I've gotten a few emails of people saying that they want to go after 1984, suggesting that I should, but I don't know, I just didn't
do it. All of a sudden you'll be in the Orwell genre, Orwell criticism.
For some reason, I don't mind that one as much. There are also so many dystopic...
1984 is used by both liberals and conservatives to, you know, attack each other, you know, the other side in different ways.
Yeah, 1984, as far as I know, doesn't have that history of being backed by the CIA.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.